I know that you've been involved with Abraxane. Can you talk a little bit about what Abraxane is and sort of how it was developed?
This is a drug that is really based on paclitaxel, a drug that is known by all oncologists and certainly many of our patients as a beneficial drug over the years. What they've done is come up with a novel formulation of this drug and made it essentially a new drug. By combining the paclitaxel with albumin, and theoretically, at least based on preclinical model, enhancing intratumoral drug uptake, and in the clinical trial, that's demonstrating that they can administer significantly higher doses of the parent paclitaxel with essentially a lower toxicity profile and what appears to be better efficacy in terms of response rate and time to progression in the setting of advanced breast cancer.
Can you talk a little bit about sort of what Abraxane is as opposed to the paclitaxel, the cremophore-based formulation that we use?
Yeah, the parent drug paclitaxel has to be mixed up in this compound called cremophore, which is actually not that dissimilar than Twin 80, which is used as a solvent for other chemotherapy drugs, which has translated into long infusion times when the drug is administered at the FDA-recommended dose of 175 milligrams per meter squared, but also leading to risks of hypersensitivity reaction.
And the reason for the formulation is because it's hydrophobic?
That is correct. That is correct. So in order for us to be able to administer it to patients, special tubing was required, special mixing procedures, and then the solvent, which certainly in preclinical models had some adverse effects in terms of not only potentially interfering with the activity of paclitaxel itself, but also in terms of its potential association with neurotoxicity. So the novel aspect of Abraxane is that it no longer requires the solvent cremophore. And what we have are particles of paclitaxel that are about a hundredth of the size of a red cell that can be administered without premedications.
And this is built in an albumin shell, sort of?
In an albumin shell. And it's pretty fascinating because there appear to be receptors to albumin in the endothelial cells. And in view of the increased vascularity of tumors, then there's increased uptake of this albumin-coated paclitaxel, facilitating intratumoral uptake.
And in fact, the doses that have been used with ABI-007 or Abraxane have been what, about 50% higher than the paclitaxel doses we're normally using?
Yeah, pretty much. When they initially did the phase one study, they demonstrated that they could administer doses of really greater than 300 milligrams per meter squared once every 3 weeks. Then they proceeded with a couple of phase two clinical trials. And in one of those clinical trials, the dose of Abraxane was indeed 300 milligrams per meter squared once every 3 weeks, and they showed very good efficacy, but some neurotoxicity. They had also done a study looking at a lower dose of Abraxane, that was the 175, still looking at good efficacy and no neurotoxicity. So I think it was really wise when they went to perform the phase three trial that they selected a dose in between the dose that had been tested in the two phase two clinical trials. So looking for efficacy, but ameliorating the peripheral neuropathy.
What do we know in general about the dose-response relationship in paclitaxel?
Tell you, the dose-response of paclitaxel that we knew before was really based on clinical studies led by NSABP, also studies led by CLGB and the Breast Intergroup, really demonstrating that you could achieve higher response rates by increasing the dose of paclitaxel, but at a significant cost in terms of neurotoxicity and myelosuppression. So what I think happened in these studies that failed to demonstrate really statistically significant improvements of increasing the dose of paclitaxel in terms of median time to progression was really because we could not deliver the increased doses due to toxicity.
And before we go on into the ABI-007 trials that have been done, just again to sort of set the groundwork, can you talk a little bit about the schedule relationship of paclitaxel, and particularly the weekly versus three-weekly, and of course the whole issue of dose dense every 2 weeks?
Wow, what a fascinating and a very important topic. Paclitaxel has been approved by the FDA only as once every 3 weeks, certainly in the setting of breast cancer. However, over the years, many of us became interested in the weekly schedule because of the theoretical appeal. We thought if we give lower doses more frequently, that could lead to lower toxicity profile and also potentially build on the anti-angiogenic effects of paclitaxel. Many clinical trials were done, you know, showing the efficacy and very good tolerability profile of the weekly regimens. We started looking at weekly doses of 100, then we quickly moved to 80 per meter squared without breaks. Then we switched to 80 per meter squared 3 weeks out of four, showing very good efficacy and very low, certainly myelosuppression and peripheral neuropathy. Then there was the very elegant randomized trial led by Andy Simon looking at once every 3 weeks versus weekly, presented at ASCO without or with trastuzumab, showing in no uncertain terms that the weekly regimen was a better regimen.
What do you think sort of the mechanism of that was? Do you think it's related to simply the anti-tumor effect or being able to get more drug in?
I think it's a combination of both things, and also potentially enhances angiogenesis by giving the drugs more frequently. So several factors. So in the study led by Andy Seidman, we really got the proof of what we thought would be seen, which was that weekly paclitaxel was better than every 3 weeks in terms of efficacy and tolerability. Then on the other hand, we have the data from C9741, the intergroup study led by Mark Citron, in this case in the adjuvant setting, looking at AC followed by paclitaxel once every 3 weeks versus every 2 weeks, at least for two of the arms, showing that every 2 weeks, the so-called dose-dense approach was better than once every 3 weeks. So now we have this dilemma. In the metastatic study, we know weekly paclitaxel is better than once every 3 week paclitaxel. In the adjuvant setting, we have AC paclitaxel better every 2 weeks than every 3 weeks. So we, first of all, would be interested in figuring out if in C9741, the difference in the two arms was really based on the paclitaxel itself. Perhaps the frequency of administration of AC didn't have an impact, but this is speculation. We have to, I think, in my opinion, take the study as it was done. But the question is, are we going to find out whether weekly is equivalent or better or inferior than every 2 week paclitaxel? This will be addressed in an ongoing clinical trial, which is S0221, led by Tombaugh. This study is for patients with high-risk, node-negative breast cancer or node-positive disease, and it looks at the so-called metronomic approach, essentially daily versus once every 2 week chemotherapy for the AC portion, and also in the paclitaxel portion, weekly 80 versus the once every 2 weeks, 175. So because this is such an important question that needs to be answered on behalf of our patients, we are very supportive of promoting the value of this S0221 clinical trial.
And of course, we met right after the 9741 dose-dense trial was presented, and the question on everybody's mind was, what about ongoing studies which use non-dose-dense ACT? And one of the primary ones was your adjuvant trastuzumab study, in which the control arm didn't use dose-dense ACT. What are your thoughts about that at this point?
Yeah, we still feel very comfortable with the control arm to our N9831 because we felt that it was important to keep the AC once every 3 weeks. You know, we didn't have any cardiac safety looking at AC followed by trastuzumab, and we wanted really to do all we could to prevent toxicity in the trial. And we were using the paclitaxel weekly, which may be better than any other way. Efficacious, and it doesn't require the use of prophylactic growth factor support.
So before we get back to Abraxane, want to give me your prediction on what the Q1 versus Q2 SWOG study is going to show?
I think it's going to show that they're equivalent in terms of efficacy, but the weekly regimen is going to be less toxic and less costly.
Interesting. Most people hesitate to answer those kinds of questions, but I'm glad you feel bold today. Let's go back to